Okay, first of all, welcome back everybody. Good to begin the Nizman. So I thought before we begin, just a little bit of the Bechizuk, put things into the proper perspective. We focus on two different aspects of Avodas Hashem. We speak about Shmiras HaMitzvahs, and we speak about Talmud Torah. So there's a unique relationship between these two ways that we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through the Ma'aseh Mitzvahs and through Alimin HaTorah. So I think there are two important lessons that almost emerge to become one that I think put things into the proper perspective as we, begin the Nuzman or the Oldsman, whatever you want to call it, in terms of Alimud of Maseches Sukkah. There is a famous verse from the Beis Halevi. It appears in the Sefer Shas Tshuvos. It appears in his Perish HaChumash as well, where he comments on the difference between Ma'asev and Nishmah. Klal Yisrael accept the Torah in different levels. They accept as Na, they accept as Nishmah. Because I'll speak about the significance of saying Na'asa before Nishma, and in turn of saying Nishma after Na'asa. So the Beis Halevi has posed the problem. He says, I understand why it's so great to say Na'asa before Nishma. Na'asa and Nishma indicates that you have such trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't even know what you're getting yourself into, and you're still willing to be Na'asa, and then you'll hear the details later. That's a tremendous leap of faith. So why did Chazal speak about the significance of Nishma after Na'asa? Na'asa and Nishma. Okay, so accept to be Na'asa, accept to be Nishma. Why is Nishma significant after Na'asa? So the Beis Halevi understood that the word Na'asa carries with it both the Shmiras HaMitzvahs itself, as well as just the understanding of how to practically do mitzvahs. If you don't know how to keep Shabbos, it's going to be very hard to keep Shabbos. If you don't know how to what tefillin is supposed to look like, it's going to be hard to keep mitzvah tefillin. If you don't know the details of kashrus, it's going to be very hard to keep a kosher home. So within the word Na'asa, within the Kabbalah of Klal Yisrael, of Na'asa, the Shmiras HaMitzvahs, is understood that they're going to learn Halacha L'Maaseh, they're going to learn Yoreh Deh, they're going to learn Luchos Nidah, they're going to learn Shabbos, they're going to learn Brachos, whatever they need to be able to be Torah observant Jews. So that's the Kabbalah Satayr of Na'asa. So Na'asa has two Chalukim to it. It has the Shmiras HaMitzvahs proper, and it also has the Chalik of Limud HaTorah in the Halacha L'Maaseh aspect. Nishma, says the Beis Halevi, is the second component of Talmud Torah. The Talmud Torah is not just a means to just to enable you to be able to mitzvah properly. Nishma is a world in and of itself. That the mitzvah of Talmud Torah goes way beyond the Shmiras HaMitzvahs. The world of Talmud Torah goes way beyond Shulchan Aruch. The world of Talmud Torah is Maseches Uktzin and Maseches Vachim and Seder Zeraim and Bav Metzia and Yevam and Subis and Sukkah and Shabbos and Brachos and Tzavot. It's all the same. It's all part of the mitzvah of Nishma. So when you learn Torah, you're not only learning Torah to enable yourself to become an observant Jew, you're learning Torah because, as they say, why did he climb the mountain? Because it's learning Torah, because it's there, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave it to us to learn. Just the very essence of Limud Torah is an entity, is a world in itself. And that's the symbolism of the Kabbalah of Klal Yisrael, of Na'asa and Makabal, Shmiras HaMitzvahs will have Ochla Ma'is. And the Nishma means when Makabal upon ourselves called Torah Kula, even the part to learn that's not at all relevant, L'maisa. So that same idea also expressed itself in Chazal. When Chazal speaks about the Pasuk, Kineh Mitzvah V'Torah Or, what's the difference between a Ner Mitzvah and a Torah Or? So Chazal say that a Ner, a candle, is very good at providing light in a very, very small context. If you're in a dark room and you have to go into a little corner and you need to B'dikas Chametz, then a candle is very helpful. But if you have to light up an entire area, so then a candle's not going to do the trick. So it's very, very good in a small setting, but it doesn't work so well if you need a much greater light. So mitzvahs are such that they provide light. Ner provides light for us. Mitzvahs provide guidance for us, but they provide it in the small context of the mitzvah itself. The Gemara says in Seif, when you're doing the mitzvah, so the mitzvah helps you out, the mitzvah will guide you a little bit. But if it's too dark, so then even doing the mitzvah isn't going to help you. Learning Torah is a whole different world. Learning Torah is like you put a floodlight on the whole place gets illuminated above and beyond just a small little nook and cranny that we're in. So I think when we approach learning Maseches Sukkah, 3 days after Sukkot, so probably some people have a little bit of a chalish tadah. Some people are probably thinking, Rabbi, this was a nice limud drill for this Tishrei, but now, you know, Sukkot's not going to be for another 11 and a half months. So what am I going to sit on? I'm going to live with the same dishlam 3 weeks ago. I was living with a slavos, sukkah l'mala michof, you know. I was chasving the shirum with the sukkah's gevaldik hilni ha-malkos in the sukkah. All the lumbas, tof and akumas, and love, that is geshmeh. Now it's kind of a little bit, you know, it's a little bit, kind of the day after. It's a little bit strange to be going back to the same Islavos, the same Diris Kev, the same Diris Aroi, now that the Sukkah has been taken down and put away. So the answer is no. up until now, when we were learning the first couple of weeks of this month, it was Chodesh Elul, so it smacked a little bit of Naseh. That means we were trying to learn Masechta Sukkah and wanted to know how we're going to keep a Sukkah properly. But now we know how to keep it. We put the Sukkah, my Sukkah is already put away. So, well, I'm not going to remember what I'm learning now anyway in 11 days, months from now. So why am I, hopefully I will remember, why am I learning Naseh V'Nishma? Now it's Chet Torah. Now I'm learning Sukkah like I learn Yevamas, like I learn Babetziah, like I learn Babas, like I learn Suvas. It doesn't have to be Lamaisa. It doesn't matter what it's Lamaisa or not. Just it's Torah Hashem. So that's all there is. There ain't no more. That's the end in and of itself. Kinei mitzvah v'ter or. So we had a tremendous aliyah, hopefully in Ruchnias, from the wonderful mitzvahs that we had. We had a Tekiah Shaifa, we had a Sukkah, we had a Lulav in the Fast Yom Kippur. So many beautiful, beautiful, a month action packed with one mitzvah, Nachum, Mitzvah, Nachum, Nachum. If you think about it, you know, the Yom Tovim do come to an end. Chodesh Tishrei comes to an end. We read in Mevarach Chodesh of Macheshvan. So Tishrei is going to close, and all the mitzvahs, the shofar is put away till next year, and the sukkah is put away till next year, and you have to buy a new lulav next year, and Yom Kippur is not for another 11 and a half months. So the mitzvahs are over. We did them. Whatever Aliyah and Ruchnius we got, and we move on. But what do we have left? As you say in Ne'ilah, at the end of Ne'ilah, Ein Lanu Shira HaTorah Hazos, Talmud Torah! We have it. We have Mamash, that's Talmud Torah. The Torah that we dance with on Simchas Torah, that we have to keep us going for the rest of the year. So hopefully in that spirit, so we can begin our back to our regular, what's called regular, has been regular, we haven't learned together in a month, but back to Limud HaTorah in its fullest, purest sense of the word. So we begin with Shem, a new Zman. Hopefully, Mitzvah Hashem be able to get right back into the swing of things in Masechta Sukkah and really get into the sugyas, the geshmak sugyas. Hopefully, Mitzvah Hashem keep us going for a while. With those words of introduction, let's begin the next sugya, right where we left off. So just to put the sugya back into the original context, we already spoke in the past about the different shitas in the Tanoim, about what the minimum size of a sukkah is. And at the end of the day, much of the discussion revolved around the basic nekuda, a nekuda that was repeated so many times. That's the issue of sukkah diras haroi or sukkah diras keva. If you hold the ultimate expression of sukkah diras keva, then you follow the view of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who insisted that it has to be a place of Dalad Amos by Dalad Amos. That's the size of a house. That's the size people generally live in. So you require a Dalad by Dalad. If you're into the opinion that sukkah is diras haroi, then you're willing to chisel away a little bit at that shear. The question is, how far are you willing to go? Six tvachim, seven tvachim, mishan, b'silom, right? The rice, there, spent a lot of time talking about that. No, we don't have case. We talk about that a lot. Fine. So comes the Gemara on Daf Gimel and Aleph, makes the following observation. Comes the Gemara and says that, forget about sukkah for a minute. Let's talk about a different sukkah. Six lines from the bottom of Gimel and Aleph. The Gemara raises the question, man tan lahad de tan rabbanim. Who is the author of the following braisa? If you have a house that's less than Dalad Amos by Dalad Amos, potter ben amezuzah. Why is it potter ben amezuzah? Because obviously it's not called a bayis. It says in the Chumash, "Safta amezuzah beisecho visharecha." A bayis has a certain definition to it. So you open up Halachapedia, and you see that the bare bone minimum definition of a bayis is Dalad Amos by Dalad Amos. Less than that, it's potter ben amezuzah. Then the braisa rattles off a whole bunch of other dinim. Some dinim deraisa, some dinim derabanan, that all revolve around the dinner house. So the braisa talks about potim and hamakeh and dinim atam benegoyim, nechavati rechaim, all the different dinim in the Torah and the dinim derabanan, that are all an expression of the word bias. And the common denominator of all these halachas is that it has to be dalad amos by dalad amos. So Gemara asks on the top of Gimel Beis, I'm sorry, who is the author of this braisa? Leimer Rebbe v'le rabanan. And maybe the author of this braisa is a Rebbe, because after all, Rebbe is the one who said back in Hilchas Sukkah that the shear of a sukkah is dalad by dalad. So the Gemara thought for a moment that the shear sukkah and the shear bayis are identical. Not such a far-fetched equation. If the rotation came to Duru, it's supposed to be mimicking your house. So if the shear, according to Rebbe, for a sukkah is dalad amos, it's probably the same shear as a bayis. Whereas according to the Rabbanon, the Beshameh, the Beshillel, those who say six tvachim, seven tvachim, would probably have a different shear for mezuzah also. So Gemara says, Leimer Rebbe v'le Rabbanon. The Gemara says, no, afilu teim Rabbanon. Even if this Brais is following the view of the Rabbanon, the Rabbanon Yamin, the Beshameh, the Beshillel, everybody who disagrees with Rebbe, ad kan lo kami Rabbanon hosam el inin sukkot diras aroyu. The only reason why the Rabbanon let you get away with a small shear for sukkah is because it's a diras aroyu. When it comes to a bias, which is a diras keva, Everybody agrees the East Bay Dalad Amas, Dalad Amas, Daim Inshev, it's more than Dalad by Dalad, people live in it. It's less than Dalad by Dalad, nobody will ever live there, and therefore cannot qualify as a Mokom Dira in the sense of a Dira's bias, of a Dira's Keva. So when all the dust settles, the Gemara says this shear that a mezuzah has to be Dalad by Dalad or Market, whatever other things we're talking about. We're going to talk more about mezuzah now. The fact that a mezuzah has to be Dalad by Dalad is really not related, at least directly, to the issue of sukkah. According to Rebbe, it's related, but according to Rabban, it's not really the same sugya. The sugya of sukkah is an issue of diras aroy, therefore it's 6 or 7 tvachim. Bias mezuzah, which is the question of diras keva, requires dalad amas by dalad amas. That's how the sugya plays out. So we have to talk a little bit just about almost like a technical question, but it's going to really become a very, very relevant issue, both in terms of hilchos mezuzah, in terms of hilchos sukkah. I just gave a whole speech about how we're not learning halach l'maisa. This whole next sukkah is going to be l'maisa hilchos mezuzah. But whatever, it's all set. So there's a shiur called dalad by dalad in hilchos mezuzah. So there's a simple mathematical question you have to ask yourself. When I give you the terms and I say 4 by 4, but what does that mean? Is 4 by 4 an expression of the area? Namely, 4 by 4, math means 16. What do we call that? 16 what? Square feet, amos. Is that what we mean? That the shear of a bias has to be 16 square amos. How can you reach 6 square amos? You can reach it a lot of different ways. You can have 4 by 4, you can have 8 by 2, you can have 16 by 1, you can have 7.3 by 2.9, I don't know, you do your math. There are a lot of ways to get your square footage, your square amish, amatish, whatever the word is, into that shear. So is that all that the halacha requires, or is there something special, something magical about that number 4 by 4, that somehow if you can't get yourself a 4 by 4, so then it's going to be part of the mezuzah? That's the question that begins. Now, the relationship to this question, the sukkah, is going to be the second half. Let's just analyze it, because the Gemara is talking about mezuzah first and foremost. And again, whatever we're saying about mezuzah will most probably be true for Makkah and the Goyim, but we're probably going to have more mezuzah shalos than negei batim shalos. We're probably going to have 0 negei batim shalos, because the Gemara says lohayv lo yeh, unless you hold like one time, so then it says that it was, but we're going to, most of the time, we get more mezuzah shalos. Fine. So comes the Rambam with a statement about this topic, and the Rambam describes, anyone have a Rambam on them? No sheets yet, but anyone have the Rambam? Okay, sorry, we'll do it without it. The Rambam uses a lashon. There you have it. Okay, we'll do it quick. Make it clear. Since it is so ambiguous what the Rambam says. So the Rambam in Ilchas Mezuzah, Pek Vav Lachadeis, Bayish Ein Lai Arba Amos Al Arba Amos Potter Mezuzah. Yim Yesh Bek De Raveya Arba Amos Al Arba Amos B'Shove Ava Bishu Agu O Baal Chamesh Zaviyos V'Ein Tzarech Leima Shima Yorko Yelso Arachboi Hovi Yesh Bel Raveya Arba Amos Al Arba Amos Chayim Mezuzah. The Ram describes a whole bunch of different geometric shapes, and one of them he's describing is Ergo Yesra Rachba. We call that a rectangle. So the Ram is describing a type of a shape that's Ergo Yesra Rachba, and saying this is also Chayiv Mezuzah. Why is it Chayiv Mezuzah? So the Pashtus HaDvarim in the Rambam, or at least the way the Rambam was traditionally understood for hundreds of years, is that the Rambam is addressing this very question, and the Rambam is taking a stand on this issue and saying, you don't really need dalad al dalad. What you really need is, the magic number is really 16, and it doesn't make a difference whether it's 4 by 4, 8 by 2, 16 by 1. This is going to be chayev es the mezuzah. This is the simple reading of the Rambam. This is the way the Rosh understood the Rambam. This is the way the Beseisif understood the Rambam. This is the way the Shach understood the Rambam. This is the way probably everybody understood the Rambam for a good couple of hundred years. It doesn't necessarily mean that everybody agreed to what the Rambam said, but at least they understood the Rambam for saying this. So the Rosh was the Bar Plukta of the Rambam, and this, the Rosh in Uchaz Mezuzah, quotes this Rambam, interprets the Rambam in the way that he does, and the Rosh thinks it's not correct. He thinks that the halacha is, in fact, the other way. He suggests that the Loshon of Chazal, Dalad Amos al Dalad Amos, leads us to believe that there is something magical about the number 4 by 4, and therefore he doesn't think that the Rambam is correct. Why shouldn't the Rambam be correct Misvara? Just if you had to think logically, why would you disagree with the Rambam Misvara? It's a simple pashat tzvar. It's hard to bring a roa. You mean you can't live in a house? Give me the house. We're talking about a house. We're talking about mezuzah, right? In other words, this shear of dalad by dalad, you have to wonder where this shear came from. Where's the source of the shear? The Gemara just says everybody agrees. All the Torahim subscribe to it. As nafkaminis for kama v'kamatinim deraisa. And you have to ask yourself, where exactly is the source for the shear? So you really have two different choices as to which direction to go in terms of what the source for the shear is. What do I mean by that? This is clearly a dimin haTorah. The Gemara is paskening hilchos mezuzah shalos, hilchos makah shalos, hilchos negibatim shalos. So there's no question this is a dimin haTorah. You still have two possibilities of how to understand where the source came from, where the shear came from. So we spoke about this a little bit in the past. I think a couple of weeks ago we spoke about this. There are two different types of shiurim in halacha. There are certain shiurim in halacha that are literally what the Chazal say, shiur mechitzin, chitzitz mechitzin halacha moshe mesinai. There are certain shiurim that were given explicitly to Moshe Rabbeinu. They don't correspond to anything. They don't correspond to any great philosophical message that's being transmitted as part of this halacha. Just the way it is. Let's say, Lamashal, the shear of achila is bekezayis. So the erev teich lematzah, the Rebbeinu Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu that you have to eat matzah. Or the Rebbeinu Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, if you eat chaz, you chay malchus. Or the Rebbeinu Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to eat carbon pesach. So there are dinim that were given with the din achila attached to them, both mitzvah zaseh, mitzvah lo zaseh. And the Rebbeinu Shalom explained to Moshe Rabbeinu, this is the shear is a kezayis. That's just the way it is. Does kezayis correspond to anything in your throat? Does kezayis correspond to anything in your stomach? Does kezayis correspond to anything about the food per se? Not at all, not in the slightest. That's the way it is. So why did the Rebbeinu Shalom, just as an aside, why did the Rebbeinu Shalom give us such a strange way of measuring things? He said, the amount of food that you have to eat is a kezayis. Or it has to be three tvachim, it has to be four tvachim. Why are all the shiurim given in these kinds of, almost like tangible things? Today, in today's world, we want to measure things. So the last thing, imagine if a guy's doing work in a laboratory, and he's trying to figure out, well, how much of this chemical should I put into this, make this thing explode or something? So you probably wouldn't describe to the person, well, take a fistful, take a tetherful, or take four steps, take a size of an olive and figure out how much a nuclear whatever they have put in. That's not the way we talk bizman hazeh. So why did the Rebbeinu Shalom Moshe and Moshe Rabbeinu these very, very almost not exact ways of measuring things? You have to, it's a kezayis, and there are different kinds of kezayis in there. So what's pshat? Why did the Rebbeinu Shalom present a little bit more scientific, a little more exact? What?
Near
Rebbe.
I would assume because the measurements people use in different countries at different time periods aren't going to stay the same.
What does that? You're 100% right. What you just quoted is the Chivas HaGa'onim. The Ga'onim asked this cash. One of the Ga'onim was asked this cash. And he gave that answer. He said that all other measurements change according to time and place. The way the Arabs measure is one way, and then in Europe they measure somewhere else, and in Yemen they measure up, and in different cultures they measure the Haraya today. Most of the world uses the metric system, and the Americans are still stuck with the feet of the kings from the 1400s of England. So again, there are different systems. The only things that will remain forever and ever, as the Eilim HaTev, the Rebbeinu Shalom created the world, it'll never change. The Rebbeinu Shalom created, olives are always olives, and eggs are always eggs, and everything's going to remain the same. So that's a big kasha that you were going to know. The kasha is Rebbe Yehuda. Because Rebbe Yehuda had the whole theory, the one who started the idea that all the eggs change, that the eggs are half what the eggs used to be, and therefore all the shurim are double what they used to be. So you have to eat that much matzah instead of that much matzah. So again, that's a discussion. When you learn Hilchos Shiurim, you have to try to figure out how do you understand that Rebbe Yehuda in light of what it says in the Shuvos HaGa'onim. But at the end of the day, there are certain shurim that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's absolute exact measurements. It's a shiur v'kizah. It's kachan. It doesn't correspond to anything. Then there's another. I feel a marshal. There's a shear in Hilchos Tuma that a kibetza oichlin is makabel tuma. Less than a kibetza oichlin is not makabel tuma. Now the truth is that there's a machlokes rishonim what that term even means. Some rishonim say that less than a kibetza is not makabel tuma at all in the Torah. Another rishonim say it is makabel tuma in the Torah. You just can't spread tuma in the Torah. So that's the detail. What exactly that means? So the Gemara says the fairish the shear is a kibetza. How do you know the shear of kibetza? Where did that shear come from? So here the Gemara gives a little bit of a different twist. The Gemara says, it says in the Pasuk, in Parsha Shmini, Mikola oichel asher ye ochel, that any food that can be eaten. Parsha speaks about tumas eichlin. Again, either it's referring to Kabbalah's tumor or talking about spreading tumor to other things. The Torah introduces by saying, Mikola ochel asher ye'achel. So the phrase asher ye'achel is obviously superfluous. It's ochel, so that it can be eaten, obviously. So what does asher ye'achel mean? So the Torah Shabbat explains that asher ye'achel means eichel anechel bevas achas. The amount of food that can be swallowed at one gulp. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, v'shir ruch hachamim kebeitza. And a person, if you take some food and you try to shove it down your throat, so you won't be able to shove down your throat 6 beitzim, you're going to choke. But if you have a kebeitza food, so that you'll be able to get down in one gulp. So comes the Torah Shabbat and says that based on this drush of oichel asher ye'ochel, oichel nechel b'vasachas, Chazal derived the din of the shir kabbalah stuma. Again, either l'tamis atzmai or l'tamis acherim, the shir is kebeitza. So is this a din deraisa? Is the cutoff point kebeitza a din deraisa? Of course it's a din deraisa. Is it halacha l'moshe m'sinai? It depends what you mean by halacha l'moshe m'sinai. If you mean was there an exact statement from the Ribbono Shel Olam to Moshe Rabbeinu, the shir of tumah is a kebeitza? I don't know. Chazal don't say that. Chazal say shir ruchachamim is kebeitza. So what I think it means is as follows. Rabbi Chanan writes that the shir of a kezayis of achila, that was given straight to Moshe Rabbeinu. There was no perish, there was no drasha, there was no doesn't correspond to anything. Kach nemar halacha. Whereas the shir of kebeitza, the kabbalah's tumah, the din deraisa that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu was that it has to be oichel anechel b'vasachas. How much is oichel anechel b'vasachas? Chazal have to go to the laboratory to figure out how much that is. So once Chazal came to the realization that this is the shir of oichel anechel b'vasachas, so that is the din deraisa. There's no question that's a din deraisa. The cutoff of a kebeitza is for sure a din deraisa, but it's a different type of a din deraisa than the din of a kezayis. We spoke about this before Yontif, right? That's what Rabbi Chan explains to Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. One of the Amorim, Yirmi Rav Zeir, will hack it about how could there be a din deraisa that if it's kebeitza oichel, it's makabel tumah, whereas if it drop less, it's not makabel tumah. And the Gemara says, no, it can be. Rabbi Chan says, what kind of kash is that? What kind of silly kash is that? If the din was given to Moshe Rabbeinu of a kezayis mamish, so why do you have to try to give out whether it's in a molecule less or not? So Rabbi Chanan says, no, the answer is it was never given to Moshe Rabbeinu the shir of a kebeitza. The shir, the din deraisa, was nimsa to Moshe Rabbeinu, oichel anechel b'vasachas. The shir ruchachomim is a kebeitza. So now you have these two different models of shiurim. This din of dalat amos, that Abayis is dalat amos. So which kind of a din is that? What kind of halach is that? That Abayis is dalat amos. It was nimsa to Moshe Rabbeinu, dalat amos by dalat amos. That's the way it is. That's the name of the shir. When the Moshe gave Moshe Rabbeinu the parasha mezuzah, chsaftam ha-mezuzah b'sechah b'sherecha. So he said, on the bottom note it said, here's the kitzah nimrat, the guidelines, the hilchos mezuzah, the practical guidelines to bring down to the Klal Yisrael. 4x4? Is that pshat? That's what the Gemara means? That was the shia that was nimrat? This is part of shiur and halacha Moshe m'sinai? Well, no, it's not shiur and halacha Moshe m'sinai. The din was given, chsaftam ha-mezuzah b'sechah. The mitzvah mezuzah revolves around bayis. Like a makah revolves around the bayis, and tumas tegoyim revolves around bayis, and chayz merachah mechomer revolves around bayis. There are many, many dinim in the Torah that revolve around bayis. Bayis has a certain connotation to it. Bayis has a certain meaning to it. Bayis is a place that people live. So it's understood that in order to meet the criteria in that Torah be called a bayis, it has to have certain conditions attached to it. What does it have to have? It has to have a place that people can live. So how big a place do people need to live in? So this is probably closer to the shiru chachamim, dalat amos by dalat amos. Chazal looked around and said, how are you going to live? To live means it has to be dearest kevin, not dearest aroi. Dearest aroi, to come into the sukkah for a few hours, that you can do in less. But you have to live there, you have to move in, mustami, you're there with your family, you have to live there, you have to have a place to sit down, you have to have a place to put your food, you have a place to put your feet up, you need a couple of svarim. You need a place, a makom dira, it's got to be dalat amos by dalat amos. So it could be that the shir of Dalat Amos with Dalat Amos was not like the Kezayis shir. The shir of Dalat Amos with Dalat Amos was closer to the Kebeitza kind of a shir. If that's the case, that the real din, the din deraisa, is not Dalat Amos with Dalat Amos. The din deraisa is the Mokom Dira. So the Chari, you have to ask yourself a very real question. Wait a second. At the end of the day, if I have a place that's 16 Amos by 1 Amma, can I live there or not? If I have a place that's thinking, what is it? I place 32 amas by half an amma. I place 64 amas by a quarter of an amma. How am I going to live there? How in the world am I going to live there? So if you tell me that the shir of the amas by the amas is a shir, it's given to Moshe Rabbeinu, that's the way it is, and the shir was said in the name of area, it's square feet, and it doesn't make the slightest bit of difference. Kachazeh, that's the way it is. That's the emotion. I don't know too much about helping you along with this. When you pay taxes usually on your property, depending on how big the property is, right? Does it make the slightest bit of a difference? If I have a house that's 4 amas by 4 amas, or if I have 16 amas, don't they charge you by square footage? No? Did I make that up?
Value,
no, okay. So what's dependent on footage? Nothing. Nothing's dependent. Okay. Louis too, I would be, something would be depending on footage. So if you tell me that square footage is a din, it's a shir, it's a aloha moshe mesinai, that's the way it is, so then... So then the Rambam's right that if it's 16 by 1, if it's 8 by 2, if it's 7 by 3.5, what's the difference? At the end of the day, I have the shear. But if you tell me that the nature of the shear is nothing, it's not a shear. The nature of the shear is just a simple expression, a physical act of dira. So if I can do a physical act of dira, good, then I'm chayav mezuzah. If I can't do a physical act of dira, then I'm blocked from mezuzah. So that's the pashas, that's what the rush is tying against the Rambam is. That if the Rambam really meant to say 8 by 2 is good enough, how could that be? It's not a Mishkin Dira. You can't live in the end of the day. So if you tell me shiurim, you can tell me math, you can do geometry from day till tomorrow. So at the end of the day, I can't put my feet up. At the end of the day, I can't relax. At the end of the day, I don't have a place to sit down and enjoy my meal and go to sleep. That's not a Mokom Dira as well. That's the postures of the Svar of the Rush. So the Ma'ase said the way this was presented for hundreds of years as the Machlokes in the Rambam and the Rush, how do we paskil halacha? So the Shulchan Aruch thought that the Rambam was right. He learned the Shulchan Aruch. He learned the Rambam like the Rosh learned the Rambam, and he thought that the Rambam was 100% right. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch was a paskin straight out like the Rambam. He doesn't even quote the Rosh as a bat plukta, as even a disagreeing of you. And therefore, if you ask the Shulchan Aruch, lemaisa, do you put up a mezuzah with a bracha? The answer would be yeah. If you have a room that's 8 by 2, you have a house that's 16 by 1. You have a house that's 128 by a tenth, by a 16th, whatever your math is. So then according to the Shulchan Aruch, Pasha should put up a mezuzah and mamash with a bracha. So the old din min haTorah. So the Shach already gets nervous with this.
I don't know that the Shulchan Aruch is quoting the Rosh's understanding of the Rambam, because he doesn't just quote the Rambam verbatim.
Right, because until the Taz, nobody else learned. Nobody else had any other understanding. The Pasha Dvar is the understanding of the Rosh. So the Shach quotes, I think the Beis Yosef writes it in Kurdish. So the Shach gets a little bit nervous with this Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch, because the Shach is likes to play it very, very. The Shach, if he plays it with mezuzah, gets very weary to start making brachas on mezuzahs. The Shach says, yeah, Ba'al, you have to put up the mezuzah. No question, you have to put up the mezuzah, because of course the Rambam may be right, but maybe he's not right, and therefore you should put up without a bracha. So what do? We put it up without a bracha. Find another room to put on with a bracha on. Be motzi, or if you can't. So you know, you put it up without a bracha. So at the end of the day, if you would just read the page in Shulchan Aruch and Mezuzah, you'd walk away either with the conclusion the way the Mechaber has, the Rambam probably held that way also, doesn't even disagree with Shulchan Aruch. Like the Shittas Rambam, straight out, you put up mezuzahs, b'taras chiyuv, with a bracha, no suffix whatsoever. And if you're nervous a little bit, like the Shach, that maybe the Rosh is right, so you'll put it up, albeit without a bracha. That's pretty much how the sugya plays out in terms of mezuzahs. So the Pashas HaDvarim is that whatever your take on Uchaz Mezuzah is, it's probably not going to be all that far away to your take on Uchaz Sukkah also, because after all, the Gemara did compare the two. I mean, at the end of the day, the Gemara didn't, but at the beginning of the day, the Gemara did. The Gemara thought that the two sugyas were mamish identical, and then the Gemara backtracked and said they're not identical. One's Divas Kev, one's Divas Arai, so they're close, but not identical. But putting aside that one quirk, that one's Divas Kev, one's Divas Arai, the Pashas HaDvarim is that the same way you calculate whatever geometric shapes you take to be Mechayev yourself in a mezuzah and a bias are probably the same geometric shapes in order to make yourself a kosher sukkah. So in terms of that nakuda, they're probably in sync with one another, which would lead one to believe that if you go down the route of the Rambam, that again, that understanding of the Rambam, up to now that's the only understanding we have, that 8 by 2 is chayev in mezuzah, so then it'll come out an interesting kula nukha sukkah, that we pass the law like Beis Shammai, that you need 7 by 7, so what that really means is you need 49 square tvachim. So you can build yourself a sukkah in a lot of different ways. You can build yourself a sukkah instead of 7 by 7. You can make yourself a sukkah 14 by 1. You can make a, that was probably not the right number, it's 49 by 1 I meant. You can make a 49 by 1. You can make a 24.5 by 2. You can build a sukkah in any shape or form as long as you have the total area. Presumably that should be the same. Again, the Gemara seemed to connect the two sugyas. The Gemara only differed because one's a roi, one's keva, but otherwise fundamentally it should be the same. So that approach was taken, in fact, by some Acharonim, led primarily by the Bach. Bach was the biggest believer of that approach, that in the Chinami, that if you're really truly paskin like the Rambam, if you hold like the Rambam but there is Vaadai, so then you can be make like the Rambam in Sukkot. So if you're not sure the Rambam's right, then it's hard to be make like the Rambam in Sukkot. But if you really, really believe like the Shulchan Aruch did, that the Emes the Din is like the Rambam's 100% right, that the Shurim were all given the Torah swear area, so then probably the same is true when it comes to Sukkot as well. And the Bach not only said this Me'atzmai, but he claims that he has a Raya from a Tosfos, and he does have a Raya from a Tosfos, if Tosfos really said what he claims he said. So that's a Tosfos of Gimel and Aleph. So the context of the Tosfos and Gimel and Aleph is the sugi that we spoke about before Yom Tov. Let's chaz it back for a second. So we had our famous Machlokes of Yudim and Chachamim. Hope everybody had a chance to think about it and talk about it over Yom Tov. I'm sure everyone was like, as you were sitting in your sukkah that first night and just looking up to the stars, you were counting to make sure you weren't 20 amos too tall. Everyone was excited about this. Comes the Tanoim and have a machlekes, how tall can a sukkah be? Can it be more than 20 amos? Has to be dafka within 20 amos. So let's chaza for a second. What are the four mahalchim as to what? Trick question. What are the four mahalchim as to why the Rabbanan pasul a sukkah above 20 amos? Chazar. Four malchim. What? I don't know anything. What? L'man Yedu. Rabbis L'man Yedu. Sukkot Yelatera, Bezeira. Dearest Keva. Dearest Arai. What's the fourth? Chicken coop. That's what it doesn't appear in the Gemara. That's Tosfos made up. Fourth, Tosfos claims some of them are held away. It looks like a Lul Shultanik. Fine. The Gemara had, depending on what reason you think the Sukkot is going to be Tula, the Gemara had certain limitations, possibly. If you go down the route of one mahalach, so then maybe if the sukkah is the funnest of Magiyos L'schach, it's going to be okay, right? Chazar, guys, right? If you go down Rabbah's route, then the funnest of Magiyos L'schach is okay. If you go down Rabbi Zeira's route, so then if it's more than Dalad Amos, Bedan Amos, etc., all the different concepts. If you go like Rabbah, then it's local. Then it's going to be possible all the time. Right? So in the middle of that whole discussion, the Gemara quotes the story of Hilni Hamalka, and tries to understand how the Hilni Hamalka story plays out in terms of this discussion. So the reason why Hilni Hamalka was so confusing is because Rav Yehuda and Nechama were clearly fighting about the Hilni Hamalka sugya. That was the sugya, that was the source of the whole contention. The problem was, is that Hilni Hamalka, she was queen. She was sitting in a little two-by-nothing sukkah, very, very unlikely. So what did the Gemara say? Yeah, it was made into little chambers and little kitanias, right, for tznius reasons. And the whole machlekes at Tanoim was whether her sons were actually sitting with her or not, depending on chinuch and not chinuch. Again, this is all pre-Yom Tov, we spoke about the Arichas. So in the middle of this discussion, at one stage of the game, according to one opinion, according to one hechetimtze here, the Gemara had the possibility that you had a lot of people sitting in a very, very small, tiny, barely kosher size minimum sukkah. And what was the size of that sukkah? It was 7x7. You had a lot of people. You had Hilni Hamalka with her seven kids, all seven sitting on her lap in one tiny sukkah, 7x7. And Rashi had a big problem with that sukkah. You know what Rashi's problem was? Rashi scratched his head and reading the Gemara. What's his kasha? What? How do they fit? It's like a clown car here. Like little kids keep on popping out of how little were Hilni Hamalka's kids? They're probably well fed, queen and princess. So how do they all fit into this little ridiculous looking sukkah? He talked to Marcus. That doesn't make any sense. So Rashi got all the hits about this kasha. So Tosfos on top of Gimel Aleph also gets not as the hits, a little hits about this kasha. So Tosfos quotes in Gimel Aleph. Top Tosfos. Masha dochet bekuntis of Chanan barab and Marai Reb Yudah. I have shum shiva bonim shiva tvochim. Not pirchi. Tosfos says, nah, don't get so hits about it. I can pull off a seven tefach sukkah and still have room for eight people in it. Seven tefach sukkah. How is that? The duma of yukatuva. Because we only have to get it to be a seven tefach sukkah. Doesn't mean it's only seven tefach. It means one dimension is seven tefach. But it's really very, 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 very long. It's huge. It's long. It's got room for another 50 little kids. All the princes could sit by the long, 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 long table. But apidin, it's still a sukkah ktana. Why is it still a sukkah ktana? Because Tosfos is learning that for the purposes of sukkah ktana, as long as one side is only seven tefach, it doesn't really matter how big. The other side is 100 amos long, and that's all apidin a sukkah ktana, which would be the subject of the machlokes from Yehuda and the Rabbanan, according to one opinion in the Gemara. So Tosa just changed that information for us. It told us that when we speak about Tzik Ketana, Tzik Gedayla, it's not referring to both the width and the length. It's just, if one side is still Ketana, that's still constant to Tzik Ketana. So Tosa says, now Tosa is drawing you the picture, right? They're making the geometry for you. So the Dilma Ruka Tuva, Avaloha Yisir Rechava, Shiva Tvachim. That's what it says in my Tosa. Avaloha Yisir Rechava, Shiva Tvachim. So you have to change it a little bit. What did Tosis just say? Tosis said, it's a kosher sukkah, but it's still a sukkah ketana. Because one side is very, very small, so it's still called a sukkah ketana. And these are the dimensions of the sukkah that here we have. In this sukkah, we have a lot of people here, okay? We have Hilandia Malka, she's at it. She's got a crown on. Okay? She's happy. All her little kids came home for Yom Tov. You got a lot of little, okay, like little Russian dolls, you know, one smaller than the next. Seven princes. Everyone's got plenty of leg room because it's 100 amas. Still, you know, a little tight over here, but you know, it's only the first night of Yom Tov. So, you know, haven't gained too much weight. Still doing okay. Those are the dimensions of this Heiliger Sukkah. That's a kosher Sukkah. Maybe it's too high, but in terms of the dimensions, it's just fine. We're getting there in a second. Okay, we're getting there in a second. So I just read the Tosis, right? I didn't explain what Tosis said, what they said, but I know why Tosis has to make it very long to get the people in. I know why they have to keep it small, because to keep it as a sort of tana. But I just read the Tosis. The Tosis said it's six tvachim. So comes the Bach and says, it's only six tvachim. Zetman from Noah, what do you see from here? That just like the Rambam, the Nuchas Mezuzah says, that the Shia was given as a what, as a who, as a where, as a what, as a as a total area. So to a Nuchas Sukkah, it's given as a total area, and therefore this Sukkah is perfectly okay. It's a Sukkah Ketana with all the ramifications thereof, but fundamentally it's a kosher Sukkah because you have a total area of more than 49 square Tvachim. That's the Bach's Raya from the Tosfos. So come most of the later Poskim, the Taz and the Magen Avraham, and attack this Taz on two different fronts. They attack the Taz on the textual front, and they attack the Taz on the conceptual front. They attack the Taz, sorry, the Bach, so they attack the Bach on the textual front, and they attack the Bach on the conceptual front. They attack him on the textual front by saying, you're building your entire case on this Tosis. I have a kasha for you. The Tosis doesn't make any sense. The Tosis is guilty of overkill. What's the goal of this Tosis? The goal of this Tosis is to get eight people into a small area, so they have to extend it out 100, but you can't make it too big, because if you make it too big, then you're no longer Sukkah Ketana. If you're no longer Sukkah Ketana, then the Machlokes Rabbeinu and the Necham doesn't apply according to one day in the Gemara. So you have to make it long, but keep it small. How small is small? What's the share of a small Sukkah for our purposes? Seven Tvachim. So if I was writing the Tosis, I would have said it's 100 by 7. Where did 6 come from? Why did Tosis say 6? Why did Tosis say 6? Lo haisa rechava shiva tvachim. It wasn't 7. It means it's less than 7. It means 7 minus something. Why did Tosis have to say that? It was totally superfluous to the point. So guess what? Says the Magen Avraham, says the Taz. Tosis not only didn't have to say it, guess what? They didn't say it either, because there's a word missing in the Tosfos. So if you look at the side of the Gemara, and then he points you to Magen Avraham the Taz, Ela Shiva, there's a mistake in the Gears, there's a word Ela is missing. It's supposed to say, Lo Haysi Rechava Ela Shiva Tvachim. Not Lo Haysi Rechava Shiva Tvachim, which would be 6, which is incorrect. It's incorrect textually, incorrect logically. Lo Haysi Rechava Ela Shiva Tvachim, which now reads like a charm. Tosfos had to make the Sukkah 100 amas long, but there was no need to make it less than 7, and in fact they didn't. It was really 7. And this is the type of a sukkah that Tosis was willing to accept, which is perfectly okay. I have no qualms with such a sukkah. Is Tosis taking a stand on the less than 7 by 7 in terms of area versus dimensions? There's no such Tosis. There's no such Tosis. Comes the Magen Avraham, comes the Taz and say, you have to say this. It's impossible to say otherwise. Why is it impossible to say otherwise? So there are two different approaches as to why it's impossible to say otherwise. One could take the approach that it's impossible conceptually, forget textually, it's impossible conceptually to go down the route of the Bach. You know why? Because even if the Rambam is right in Hilchos Mezuzah, there's no way that din's going to carry over to Hilchos Sukkah. Why is that no way that din's going to carry over to Hilchos Sukkah? In other words, what's Mr. Alter really saying? You want to tell me that a house could be 5 by 3.5 and you can, you know, push yourself in a little bit, it's not the most comfortable way of living, okay. But once you dip beneath 7 tefachim in a sukkah, you don't have a dira. It's bechlal impossible to make a dira. It's not that there's a fundamental difference in Nuchas Mezuzah and Nuchas Sukkah. It's just the Metzias HaDvarim is, because the shear of a Sukkah is so small to start with, once you go beneath 7 tefachim or 6 tefachim, whatever you think the shear of Dir is in a Sukkah, once you dip beneath that point, then there's nothing to discuss. Then you're L'chlal after lunch. So one could attack this Bach and say, I believe in the Shulchan Aruch Mezuzah. I believe in the Rambam square footage of Nuchas Mezuzah. That I can accept. But I can't carry that over to Hilchos Sukkah. They're two different dinim because they're two different sizes. Once you go so low, it's just impossible. It's impossible for there to be a din in Hilchos Sukkah less than 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. Could one say it? Could one almost present that objection in a little bit more of a lumdish terminology than just living conditions terminology, using some of the categories that we spoke about before?
Can you talk about halacha moshe mishnah, something like the sukkah, the chamar, interpreting something?
Oh.
Not just giving
straight. Oh, so it could be that even the nature, the shiurim of da'at amas by mezuzah and 7 tefachim by sukkah are very different from one another. You know, before we thought that the shiur. We and the tier was the Rush was right. We really thought in the heart of hearts the Rush was right in Nuchas Mezuzah, because we thought that Nuchas Mezuzah also was not a Shia. We thought it was an expression of a concept, of a Torah concept of Dira. Shia Ruch HaChavim, Dira is Dalad by Dalad. But, you know, we revatled that Tena to the Rambam. We said, okay, the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, okay, even the Shach halfway. You know, we're willing to accept this idea that there was somehow some kind of a Shia of Dalad by Dalad. And the shiur was given, dollar by dollar, 8 by 2, 16 by 1, it's all the same thing, it's a square footage, and kachaze. We were ready to be mekano. But in Hilchos Sukkah, we're not willing to concede. In Hilchos Sukkah, we're not willing to go down that route to say that it's a square footage and call it a day. In Hilchos Sukkah, we are certain, beyond the shadow of a doubt, there was no halacha moshe mishnah called 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. There never was such a halacha moshe mishnah. The halacha that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu was Teishu King Taduru. That was the only din that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Teishu King Taduru. V'shiru chacham, how big is the Mokom Diru? How do I know for a fact that that's the way it is? How do I know it must have been that way? Lo hayu dvar miyom, there was never halacha Moshe Sinai called 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. It's a three machlek zetanoim. The Rambam has this famous comment, V'yinivachos Mamrim, that when you have halacha Moshe Sinai, it's a clear cut halacha Moshe Sinai, that's the way it is. It's not subject to machleik. We don't even know whether that 7th tefach is deraisa, derabanan, derischol. We spoke about this with the Rans, with the Rifs. Rabbi Yudah Nasi, in the days of Rabbi Yudah Nasi, the days of Mishnayos, they still weren't sure what the shear of a sukkah was. So there was an absolute clear cut halacha mashmisini what the shear of a sukkah is. No, the halacha mashmisini was teishvakein taduru. You need a makam dira. So what's called the makam dira? So now you have to look and you have to analyze what you think dira of a sukkah is. So we spoke about this so many times already before Yom Tov. So what is the dira of a sukkah? Is the dira of a sukkah dira of diras keva? Because you have to roll teishvakein taduru means we're mimicking our homes. So just as our homes are a diras keva, our sukkah has to be a diras keva. What do I say? No, shivas yom ksiv. That was the Rashi in the base, right? Shivas yom ksiv. Shivas yom means that it's got to be dafka, temporary. You can't make it into a diras keva. So once you tell me that Hilchos Sukkah is bechlal not a function of an absolute objective shear, it's merely an expression of a concept of dira. So the real question you have to ask is, can I live in such a monstrosity of a geometric shape or not? So bring in somebody and ask them, I'm living in a place, I'm living in a room, I'm living in a hut that's 1 tefach wide and 49 tefachim long. You're crazy, how are you going to live in such a place? It's not shayach to live in such a place. So it's not shaykh for it to be a kosher sukkah. How can that possibly be a kosher sukkah? It's not a makam dira, but any shape or form. So So the Chora, conceptually, the Bach is very, very difficult. It's difficult. Actually difficult conceptually. But now comes the Taz with an about face of the entire Sefer. Comes the Taz. He references this in Uchaz Mezuzah, and then he elaborates upon Uchaz Sukkah and says, you know, I'm so sure that the Bach is not right. Just don't forget who was the Bach. What? Yeah, his father-in-law. Taz was the son-in-law of the Bach. He's so sure the Shmuel wasn't right. Not even the latest of Sophic, his father-in-law was not right. That's going now the position of father-in-law is a whole other take that in the seriousness. Son-in-law was so sure that the Bach wasn't right. That he's sure the Bach is not right, not only in Hilchus Sukkah. He's so sure what? He's not even right in Hilchus Mezuzah either. Not, says the Taz, not because I think the Rambam's not right in Hilchus Mezuzah. I think the Rambam's 100% right in Hilchus Mezuzah. Except what do I think, says the Taz? Say it again, let's get the progression of thought. The Taz turns around to his father-in-law and he says, imagine this scene. They're sitting in the sukkah together. They're being refined upon this very issue. A 49 tefach, one tefach, the Bach saying a whole shtickle Torah. And the Taz, young man, says, excuse me, he says, I think that there's a Tol Sofer in the Tosha that you're quoting. Imagine the drama that must have taken place in this sukkah over there. Well, anyway, we had a lot of lively conversations. You know, my son-in-law in the sukkah wasn't as lively as this, you know. That the Taz says, that Tosha that you say to you, Bach says, it's a fresh Tosfos. And the Taz says, it's wrong, there's no such Tosfos. He yanks out a Tosfos, and the Taz says, I'm sorry, there's a missing word in the Tosfos. That's what happened. So the Taz says, you're not right in terms of your reading of the Tosfos in Sukkah. Taz never said it. You're not right in Hilchos Sukkah conceptually, and you're not even right in Hilchos Mezuzah. Because in Hilchos Mezuzah, says the Taz, the Rosh is 1,000% right. He was right all along conceptually. He's 100% right in halacha. And now the Taz comes with the absolute, turns the tables on everybody. What does the Taz say? The Rambam never said what everyone thought he said. For the last 500 years, everybody assumed there was machlokes the Rambam and the Rosh. Starting with who? Who's the first person responsible for presenting us the machlokes the Rambam and the Rosh? The Rosh. The Rosh quotes the Rambam and says the Rambam's wrong. The Taz says no. The Rosh quoted the Rambam and disagreed with the Rambam because he misunderstood the Rambam. Everyone should be Michael's. I mean, just read for the drama, what I say. Says the Taz, read the Rambam really carefully. Go back to computer screen, says the Taz, and go and take a look. So you can't do the Chalamoy, you can do the Sugan Yantin. So the Taz goes back to the computer, goes back and reads the Rambam again, and says, V'shtate in Rambam anything different than the Rosh. V'shtate anywhere in Rambam, in Uchaz Mezuzah, that the Shear is square footage. What was the phrase the Rambam said? What's the phrase of Rambam Binyamin? Aruf Lawa? Orko? Yeshbuk Tinu Re'av Rambam Salah. Yeshbuk Re'av Rambam Salah. So what do you think that means, square footage? Kedel Raveya means square footage, or Kedel Raveya means I have this tremendous monstrosity of a shape, and I can be Raveya, I can fit in here. Dal Ramas Ba'dal Ramas. What's the phrase of Rambam that did us in? Orko Yesu Arachbay. So you mistakenly thought that Orkel Yesor Rochbo meant 8 by 2, right? I don't think that's what it means. Orkel Yesor Rochbo means? I ask you a question. Is that a square or a rectangle? Come on, guys. We've gone past arithmetic already. We're ready in geometry, okay? Come on. Even I'm Zeb, get this one right. Come on. This is Arko. Those are in the shell there. We'll appreciate that one. Arko, yes. By the way, Baruch Hashem, we did pass the regions. Baruch Hashem, just in case anyone did last year. We did nicely. Arko, yes, sir, Arachman. The Taz, why is it not Arko, yes, sir, Arachman? That's all the Rambam said. That's all the Rambam meant. It's Arko, yes, sir, Arachman. So you're going to ask me, or what are you going to ask me? It's like, I need a Rambam to tell you that 8x4, I would have said, I'll ask you a question. What question? I want to make rectangle tefillin, right? I'm going to make them 8x4. Is that okay? Well, Madach 4x4 is good, so 8x4 is also good. So the answer is no. Just because something is kosher as a square, does that doesn't mean it's kosher as a rectangle. So I would have said, for some sugar to smart, I would have said that a sukkah has to be a square. Kamash Malon, it doesn't have to be a square. After all, don't forget, how did the Rambam introduce the statement of Arkei Yisrael Rachboy? So you have been medayik in the Ein Tzarich Lomos of the Rambam. You think the Rambam would never say an Ein Tzarich, would never say something, even in introducing it with Ein Tzarich Lomos, unless there was some reason to say it. But the words Ein Tzarich Lomos translate to mean there is no need to say the following. I'm going to say it anyway, just because there's going to be some Amaretz out there at some point. Some guy is going to read the Rambam, is going to make a whole. I said, somebody could. Chas v'shalom think I meant the rush, but I didn't mean that. All the rush, feeling the rush. Everyone should be moichel today. Shiur 3 weeks after Yom Kippur, 2 weeks after Yom Kippur, ready, talking with. So everyone understands what I mean. The Rambam wrote, "V'ein tzach lema." Don't make a mistake to think. But at the end of the day, that the Rambam means square footage is enough. Zok the Taz lohayos b'miyam. And the Taz writes, he was so excited with mechadishness. He was just jumping for joy. Probably some cholamoid sukkahs. Everyone else was dancing around some of his beshuaytas in the square, and he was sitting there analyzing this Rambam, and it came to the realization, this is what the Rambam really meant. The whole thing's learned by Miyalim. Not like the Rush, not like the Beis Yosef, not like the Ramon, not like the Shach, not like his father, not like anybody. He says, there's no difference between Zuz and Sukkah, it's all the same. So basically, when all the dust settles, we have three different opinions in the Gedalia HaPoskim about what our take is on this fundamental question about square footage, not square footage. So we have one approach to say that everything is a function of square footage. Bein b'chus mezuzah, bein b'chus sukkah. That's the way it is. That shita is the ultimate extreme view of the Rambam, which is, we're going to call it the shita sabach, that everything is square footage. Bach claims it's Taisa shita. Everyone until the Taz thought it was the Rambam shita. We're equating mezuzah and sukkah like the Gemara sounds like in Gibbon Beis. That's the absolute extreme view, the shita sabach. Then you have the other total at the end of the spectrum is the Taz Ishita. The Taz is claiming with us all the Rishonim that there never, ever, ever was a difference between mezuzah and sukkah. They're all the same. So the Bach and the Taz are seeing eye to eye in one nekuda in the sugi. What's the eye to eye? They're seeing eye to eye in what point? That sukkah and mezuzah are identical. What is the driving force behind equating sukkah and mezuzah? What is the driving textual force equating mezuzah and sukkah? Hagemar. Because Hagemar thought they were mamish identical, and then just backed out a roi kev, a little quirk of a difference. But the ikaron, they're the same. So the Bach and the Taz, even though they've parted ways here in the sukkah, they each one's learned the Rambams differently, but the underlying premise that sukkah and mezuzah are the same is identical. It's just that each one came up with a radically different way of how they're the same. And then you have everybody else in the middle. Then you have, which I guess we're going to represent really like the Magen Avraham, the middle ground, which is saying that the Rambam is right fundamentally, well, it's Sofik, the Rambam is fundamentally right in Hilchos Mezuzah. In Hilchos Sukkah, so we have to part ways with the Bach, and even though Agamar equates the two, but, you know, they're not really the same. We're going to have to part ways between the two. Now, why should we part ways conceptually? How do we explain away that parting of ways? Those who are the Magen Avraham and Pashas the Shulchan Aruch, those who are buying into this middle ground that Mezuzah the Rambam is right and the old style Rambam, the Russian version of the Rambam is right, but in Sukkah it doesn't carry over. So how do you explain away conceptually why they part ways? So either it's a more of a Metzias oriented because the Shia of Sukkah is somewhat smaller, so it doesn't lend itself to the svar of the square footage as easily as the mezuzah does, or for a deeper conceptual reason, then maybe the nature of the shear is different. Going back to what we said before, the nature of the shear of mezuzah may be more of halacha b'Moshe Sinai, maybe the shear of a sukkah may be more of just an expression of the reality of dira. So again, so we have logical ways of explaining away the three different possibilities. How do we paskin halacha in this? So no one in the world is going to be making like this Bach, not a long shot. No one in the world is going to build a sukkah 40 die by 1 and call it a day based on a most probably mistake in the Tosis. So that's not going to happen. No one in the halacha follows the Bach. Because that would invoke a kula. But what about Hilchos Mezuzah? Are we really, really sure the Taz is right? We're 100% certain that the Taz is right? And the Rambam never meant it? Or even if the Rambam did mean it, are we 100% sure the Rush is right in the game of the Rambam? Well, we're still part of the old school. Namely, we're still part of the Shulchan Aruch days, still part of the Shach's days. who gave a lot of credibility to the Rambam, either B'Torah's Vadlik, the Shuruch, B'Torah's Suffolk, like the Shach. So what are we going to do? This is a real Shaila. I have a house less than Dalet by Dalet, but it's 8 by 2, 16 by 1. Am I going to put a mezuzah on or not? Now, most of us aren't going to have houses that small, but we are going to have many, many what? Many rooms that small. And each room is its own little house for the purpose of Vilkas Mezuzah. So this Shaila comes up countless times. I guarantee you every single person in this room has one of these Shailas in their house. At least once, probably multiple times. Which ultimately boils down to what our take is on the sugya. If we go down the route of Shulchan Aruch and the Shach and to either to insist, there are three possibilities, either to insist with the mezuzah with a bracha like the Shulchan Aruch, to put the mezuzah on B'Torah Suffolk without a bracha like the Shach, or to say the Taz is right and there's no mezuzah altogether. So how we know Yegel HaLoch on this? So it depends who we are. Depends who you ask in this one. So the Chazon Ish paskin that the Iker Adin is like the Taz. He thinks the Taz is the Emes, and therefore he thinks there's the Iker Adin is no Chiyuv Mezuzah. Not everyone agrees. Chazon Ish held away. The Iker Adin is like the Taz understood the Rambam correctly, and Sukkah and Mezuzah are identical, and there never ever was a din of square footage anywhere, and therefore you need 7 by 7 Tvachim to be a Sukkah, you need 4 by 4 Amos to be Chayav Mezuzah. Again, I didn't say everyone agrees to, but that's the Chazon Ish Pas. Are there any exceptions to that rule? Do you ever have a situation where you can have a room or house or whatever the case may be of less than Dalet Amos being Chayav Mezuzah? Sounds like no. The most of the favorites. It's clearly a shir, whatever the nature of the shir is. Is there any reason to believe there's any exceptions to that rule? So there is a discussion in the Gedolei HaPoskim based on the Gemara and Gimel Beis in Masechet Sukkah, where the Gemara begins to question, is this shear of Dalet by Dalet really accurate in all the areas that's listed? So again, we mentioned that there are Dinim Deraisa involved, the Mezuzah and Makkah, and Tumas Negoim, and the Mechaz and Mechama, but the Erechema. And then there are Dinim Derabanan also that depend upon bias. Some of the Dinim that depend upon bias are the halachas of, many of them relate to the Dinim of Erevin, both in terms of Erev Chatzeres and in terms of Erev Tchumen. Just a very, very quick overview. In terms of Erev Chatzeres, there's a Dinim in the Torah that anytime you have an area that's surrounded by walls, whatever the definition of walls are, you're allowed to carry it. That's what Shisayachit Min HaTorah, depending on how many walls, size of the walls, whatever. But basically, you know, you have a courtyard, you have an apartment building or something, so those are all Shisayachit on a level of Dirai. So nevertheless, Min Rabbanan, you're not allowed to carry it there because Shlomo Melech and his Beis were afraid that if people start carrying in these public kinds of areas, so that's going to be a big confusion. People are going to start to think, I can carry from my apartment to the lobby, why can't I carry it to the street also? What's the difference? This is public, that's public. So the days then, the days of Shlomo Melech made a takana called Takanas Erevin, and we want to make sure that basically we take all the public areas and get into one big private area. So how do you do that? So a very, very simple way to do that. So you move everybody into one apartment. So you have one apartment with a lot of openings in the apartment. So you have 10 apartments opening up to a lobby, so to a hallway. So what do? So you have everyone to move into one apartment. If everyone lives in one apartment, then it's one big happy family of Rosh HaSayochit. And you can carry there. How do you get everyone to move in? So we could make everybody move in, Mamish, but that's going to be very uncomfortable for people. So you tell them, put a little bit of food. Take a little bit of your food, and if everyone has all a little bit of food in one apartment, so then everyone lives in that apartment, then there's no more confusion anymore, and shalom HaShem. That's what the Kanas Chacham called a Ruvi Chetzeris. That's exactly what we do. Adi Yemezeh, let's say we have a big, we call it Teaneck, Bergenfield, the Milford, Dumont, Pagoda, whatever it's called, all the different communities together, and it's a tremendous, huge Rosh HaSayachit. It's surrounded with walls and fences, and Tursa Pesachs, and telephone wires, and everything on all sides, and we're still not allowed to carry there because Shlomo Melech's Takana. So what we have to do is, we have to then collect a little bit of matzah from everybody. We could do bread also, just if bread gets stale, you have to do it every other week. So matzah we do once a year, collect a little bit of matzah from everybody in the community, and you put it in one house, and Shalom on Yisrael. So when you collect this matzah, it would be nice if Imam is knocked and everybody's doing this, they want to give you the matzah, it would also take forever. So we do it a little bit more efficient way. What's the more efficient way we do? Zoch Lev Shalom B'Fonav. So the rabbi goes to the store, buys a box of matzahs, hands it over to somebody else, says Zoich on the box of matzahs to the whole community, and puts it in his house, and Shalom HaYisrael. Gevaldik, wonderful. Who owns those matzahs? Everybody. Whatever person wants to knock something to the rabbi's door and says, I want to eat some of those matzahs, and the rabbi says, no, you're not allowed to eat those matzahs. So what happens? So there's no Erev. The Gemara says the Erev is bottle. Because if you, if person what's called matzah l'aruva, if you really care that somebody ate from the matzahs and you make a whole to-do about it, so then that throws into question, was that really an erev? The whole thing, the whole erev is supposed to combine into one. If no one can really come in, the odds are probably no one will come in. But if somebody does come in, so then and want to take the matzahs, you tell them no, you can't have it. So matzah l'aruva undoes the entire erev. So why I'm mentioning that to you? Because I had an opportunity yesterday to fill this din. So we have a lot of Erev in Bergen County. You know, Tinek has an Erev, and actually Sajid Tinek have different Erev in different Cheshbainas, and Inglewood has an Erev, and Tenafly, and a lot of all the different communities have their own Erev in. But in order to facilitate being able to carry from different ones to different Erev in, so it's not enough each one to have their own Erev, you have to have another Erev which combines all the box amounts into one of the box amounts. So for whatever reason, I got somehow volunteered into being the one to creating the mass Erev to connect all different Erev and everything. So last year of Pesach, I bought a box of matzahs. It's a little bit complicated. You have to do it because when you make multiple small Erev and one big Erev, you have to time it properly in terms of brach. It gets a little complicated, but nice that we try to figure it out properly. And so there's one box of matzahs sitting at the top of my refrigerator that says on it, Bergen County Erev Chatzeres. That's in addition to all the other small Erev that we have. That's the one that lets you walk from one Erev to another. Bergen County Erev Chatzeres. So that box of matzahs, I bought it Erev Pesach. It's been closed, sealed tight. The din is it has to be accessible to eat on Shabbos, or else the Erev is no good. So even though it's a lot of questions and how to open up boxes on Shabbos, there are ways to open up the Heter. So since there are ways to open up the Heter, so we assume that that's considered to be accessible. We probably wouldn't want it to be open, because if you open it, the matzah starts to get stale. By Hanukkah time, you may have to make another Erev. So usually, many people keep the box of matzah shut and sealed, and then they rely on the fact that it is accessible in some shape or form. Yesterday, for some strange reason, I was moving something at the top of the refrigerator. I noticed that the box of matzahs were open. I opened it up, and lo and behold, somebody had taken a matzah out of the matzahs. So what I think happened was somebody probably wanted a piece of matzah for Shalom Shabbos or something, or sometime over the course of the other, I don't know when, somebody wanted a piece of matzah in the house. All my family, a lot of my brothers-in-law were around, a lot of people were there, and they probably just thought it was a regular box of matzahs. They probably didn't see, because it only says on one side, they probably, the box was the upside down, whatever. So they probably didn't notice that it said Erev Chatzeres of Bergen County on it, and they opened up the matzahs. Whatever it is, someone opened up, maybe it's called a boy, okay, down the chapskos. Somebody took out a matzah, probably one of the kids took out a matzah, paid for the matzah. So I have to be honest, my initial reaction when I saw that yesterday was, which nut opened up the box of matzahs? I'm like, God! And then I thought to myself, with Entoch the Deber, this is it! This is the moment of truth. All of Bergen County is hinging upon my reaction to that one nut. So I said to myself, the Leib Shalom, I said it 90 times, like Masha Baruch, I'm not Machbel Eruvo. Everyone come, please come and steal all the matzahs and take all the matzahs that you want. I'm not Machbel Eruvo, not Machbel Eruvo. So I said enough times that I realized that now Chanukah, that's going to remember to buy another box because it's probably going to get stale by then. But anyway, Baruch Hashem, first time in the history of the world that someone had to be not Machbel Eruvo. That was me, the lucky guy. Okay, anyway. So getting back to this story, but it could be, if it was really a guest, it wasn't a balabos who owns a chelak in the matzahs, so then it could be, I do have a right to be machped, because then he's a ganav. Okay, not for now. Okay, anyway, but I'm not machped, just in case. You didn't hear that, it's off the record. Okay, still good, canceled. Okay, everyone's baruch Hashem, all's well there as well. So that's not even the sugi we're talking about, that's the introduction. And then there's another din, that's a din of Erev Tchumen. So there's another din that, let's say I want to walk out of the Tchumen Shabbos. So I want to walk more than 2,000 amas. So I could do that if I could only do it one time. I have to relocate myself. How do I relocate myself? So let's say I'm over here when Shabbos begins, and I want to walk all the way over here, and this is 3,000 amas away. So very simple. If I relocate myself to over here, so now I'm all right. The only problem is I don't want to. I want to daven mincha ma'ariv over here. I don't want to stand over there when Shabbos starts. So I have to do what's called the kind of shvisa. So how are you kind of shvisa? So you're kind of shvisa either where you are literally, or if you leave a little bit of food at the place where you want to be kind of shvisa, and when Ben Hashmashas comes, Shabbos begins, that food can be kind of shvisa in your place. So that's the institution called the Erev Tchumen. So I can leave the Erev Tchumen up until 1,999 amos away from where I originally am, and that gives me another 2,000 amos in that direction. of course, it takes away all my room from here that I can't walk. I can only walk one arm over here. So being kona shvisa, the Erev Tchumen, you have to strategize whether it's really kedai or not. So that's the din called Erev Tchumen. Hopefully we'll talk a little bit more about it tomorrow. So in the context of Erev Tchumen, so the Gemara has a whole complicated discussion about the role of a bias, and the Gemara is going to make a statement, a very cryptic statement in the context of Erev Tchumen, that's going to throw a monkey wrench into everything we've been talking about in terms of the Shev Dalai Badal, and we're going to have to see how that is or is not going to play out in terms of Ukhaz Bezuz, hopefully it's Shem tomorrow, if we can do that.
Say that when the Rambam says the A is the Loma.